Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today is November the 24th, 2016. It is a Thursday afternoon as I broadcast to you from quite a beautiful day here in North Carolina. I know my aunt was talking to her husband who did not come down from Detroit with her. In Detroit, I think he said something like it was 32 degrees, something like that. And she said she was just loving it down here. Said it feel like it's 75. It's not that warm, but it's a pretty beautiful day down here in North Carolina. Hope that you all are doing okay. I know I was reading a couple of articles around these times and heard other people on the station talk about around, quote unquote, holidays, there is a lot of violence, intra-family violence as all these families come together, and alcohol, and whatever, there's alcohol in the mix. There are just some people who cannot handle their alcohol, and so we hope that there's no kind of drama going down like that in your gatherings, if in fact you are at a gathering, as many people celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And others don't really celebrate it, but they take advantage of the time that their employers give off to go visit family members that they may not have seen. So, if you're if you are at one of those places, hey, I hope that they got some speakers or something, and let them tune in to Black Talk Radio Network. I know my aunt, who was visiting again from Detroit, she pretty much enjoyed the Lotus Place last night. I mean, she, after the show was over and whatnot, she pulled me to the side and she was like, oh, well, that one thing that the host said about black people making profit. What did Black Rose say on the Lotus Place last night? I think she said turning your passion into profit. Something like that, where you have a skill or talent. It may be in arts, craft, might be something like my mom who refinishes furniture that she finds at thrift stores, Goodwill stores, stuff like that. Get it cheap, refinish it, but she doesn't sell it though. She keeps it. And so, but my aunt was saying that, well, one thing they weren't considering is the banks and the racism in the banks. And I was like, well, you're right, but we had also been talking about on the station how these online businesses work, and whether or not you're going to make a huge profit, it definitely you don't want to go into a hole. But again, I want to stress taking advantage of the tax code. As long as we're subjected to this system, we might as well exploit it in the same ways that the people who benefit from it the most. So, and she was like saying, oh, you're right. So, yeah, get online, start a business, get online. She didn't tell me what her ideals was, but she seemed pretty excited. So, turn your family members on to Black Talk Radio Network. Help us to continue to grow. Also, I will be issuing a report on our first ad campaign to Africa. As I mentioned on prior broadcasts about the ad campaigns that we're going to use on social media platforms to reach people in Africa that speak English, as you have nations that speak English as the official language, like Ghana, which is the nation that we targeted with our first ad on social media. And I'm just ecstatic. I'm just ecstatic at the reactions to Black Talk Radio in Ghana. So I want to today is the last day for that campaign. So once it completes, I'll be sending out the results of that campaign and getting ready to load up the next ad. I'm not going to target Ghana this time, but I will target another English-speaking African nation, just building upon Malcolm's suggestion that, and I'm speaking, of course, of the great late Malcolm X, spoke of opening up that line of communication. So to those who donated to that fund, keep a lookout for that. Of course, if you're a donor, any amount that you have contributed lifetime, you will get those reports as well. So I'm really excited about that. I haven't had an opportunity to look at the station stats to see if more people from Ghana is tuning in to our radio stream, but I'll take a look at that. But it's still too early to tell. But the social media response to Black Talk Radio Network in Ghana was overwhelmingly positive. So I'm real excited about that and continuing the growth of this platform and this network and this station. Today is pretty much an open news, open line day. I know a lot of people are busy, but I don't take holidays off. I've said that before. I do not celebrate Thanksgiving, but I'm here working, and I'm not criticizing anybody because I don't know. Again, they may be just taking advantage, like many of my family who are descendants of indigenous people, taking advantage of the opportunity that they can get time off the plantation, the job, the corporate plantation, and visit family members and come together. And we need more of that. We need that. But like my aunt was saying to me before they left to go over one of my cousins who was hosting the basically is really a family reunion, you might as well say. And she said, I give thanks every day. And that just reminded me of an uncle who passed away maybe 4 or 5 years ago, who, when you ask him how he was doing, he would say still walking on top of it, which means that he wasn't 6 feet under, he wasn't dead, and he's alive. So he's doing better than dead folks, you could say. Uncle Shirt used to choke, make me laugh a lot. But yeah, today is pretty much open lines, open news day. If you have any news to report, coming up here in less than an hour is an episode of The Barbershop from the Cobra Organization, episode 9, I believe, and the topic will be CEO Obama misleading people, lying to people about Donald Trump, and saying that don't let the Democrats treat you as black people as dumb niggers. So that'll be coming up soon, again in less than an hour. But I did come across a news article that one of the members of BTRCommunity.com shared. BTRCommunity.com is a platform, a social media platform, that was set up on the suggestions over the years and recently people I come in contact with that said we need our own social media platform because of some of the pitfalls of the other platforms that we don't control. Black people are not controlling them, though they generating the most profit on those social media platforms by posting content. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Go where the masses are and what have you, but also know the risk. So that's how BTRCommunity.com, more secure way, especially for activists and online organizing. It's a secure place for you to do that. So a member of BTRCommunity.com had posted this article about Charles Barkley, the NBA player, I think he's a Hall of Famer, I'm not sure, played for the Philadelphia 76ers, then I think he played for the Phoenix Suns for a while, and I'm a former athlete, so that's how I know. I particularly love basketball, played a lot of basketball in my day, and so that's how I know that. But he's also a current sports analyst, and these sports networks, again, not owned by black people, not controlled by black people, even though they may showcase a lot of black people and give them the mic. Those are not the people that's in charge. They may not even have a say in the content. But Charles Barkley, though, he said these things outside of that forum. And he has also ran for Alabama governor at one time. He lost all of that, all of them whistles he was blowing still didn't help him get the white vote. I don't know. Donald Trump might have helped him get in if he'd have ran for governor in Alabama. But according to this article, reportedly, he said some insulting things to victims of slave catching in Baltimore. And that caused them to boo him, to critique his comments, where he was victim blaming. And we did get an acknowledgement that racism does exist, and I don't agree with his outlook that it will always exist. I mean, if we're going to take that attitude, then it's no point of combating it. And probably that's why he doesn't combat it, and he plays his role in sustaining the system. And it's just so, the story's so disgusting on so many levels outside of, and I'll pull up the story, probably take a look at YouTube, see if we can, if somebody recorded it and filmed it, but probably not, because the other disgusting thing is that after scanning the article, it appeared that he had some television network. I don't know if it was ESPN or A&E or somebody. I think it was A&E film crews in tow with him. So I was looking at that as here you are having a quote unquote Baltimore town hall on policing, on slave catching, and the brutality of the Baltimore Department of Slave Catchers. Now, we have white people's own documentation through the Baltimore, Justice Department report on Baltimore. So it's not like people are making things up and they perceive this is happening to them or they feel like this is wrong. No, we have hard data. The numbers don't lie. But your own investigators within there, I mean, the supreme authority, federal investigators went in there and documented their crimes. So, but on the exploitative level, here you are bringing in A&E so they can take this so-called town hall. Probably it was planned for you to go in there and say some provocative things. Yeah, Charles, go in there and say something, you know, your stick, you know what you do, you know. So, yeah, go in there and say those things to those black people of Baltimore. Act like you're trying to help, but you're not really trying to help. You're trying to provoke emotions out of them or their logical responses of anger at your incendiary, insensitive, proxy racist comments. And we'll capture it all on film, and it'll be must-watch television. Remember, I think A&E is the same one, and I'll confirm it in the article. Matter of fact, why don't I just go ahead and pull up this article? But this is the only one I really wanted to bring to your attention today on Black Talk Radio News. I thought I bookmarked the article. Let me go to btrcommunity.com. I'm probably saved it in the wrong bookmarks. Let me go to btrcommunity.com. As that is where one of the members posted it, and I first saw this article, and I, you know, again, this just goes to something I've been saying this week, is Charles doesn't have to participate. He doesn't have to go in there with these cameras in tow to exploit this situation and making people think that he care about policing, and then he come in there with his pro-slave catching comments, not understanding at all. And it's not enough for him to simply acknowledge racism exists, but what I can remember from the article, now I'm having problems finding it. Where did I save that article? I'll tell you what, I'll just do a quick Google search, I'll find it. Charles Barkley. Baltimore Town Hall. Let's see. Charles Barkley's criticism of residents turns ugly at East Baltimore Church. This one was published a day ago on The Undefeated. I don't think this is the one that was posted to btrcommunity.com. But let me pull this one up. Again, he doesn't have to participate. He doesn't have to be a proxy racist tool of the system. We have free will. God has given all of us free will. And we can fight the programming. We can really fight the programming. I mean, if you just, like Mr. Fuller say, follow the logic. It's not logical for these slave catchers to be even slave catching. It's not logical to call yourself a free society while making exceptions for slavery. Let's see. Yeah, this is basically the same article. So it could be, but a lot of times these AP articles are copy people, license them and post them to their, publish them to their website. And so you'll probably find it under different titles. Let's see. With her mother's heart, Marion Gray Hawkins made the 1 hour drive to Baltimore, hopeful that Charles Barkley would bring some insight to the issue of police brutality. Now, let's stop right there. Again, I'm not victim blaming or anything like this. I don't know, except for she see that Charles Barkley is a black man classified under the system of racism and slavery. So she's being hopeful that in the light of all this evidence, in light of all these videos, in light of even the Department of Justice's own report, even Baltimore's own acknowledgments in settling lawsuits and what have you, so I guess that's the only way she is. Because if you knew about Charles Barkley, if you covered him or paid attention to the comments, because he's known for saying these type of things, that's how he generates headlines. He doesn't have a basketball career anymore. That's been a long time ago. He had a great run. He made a lot of butter biscuits entertaining folks, white folks primarily. And I'm not criticizing people who do that. You know, it's what you do with those butter biscuits. Do you convert them and distribute them to help others, other victims or whatnot? But this guy likes the cameras. He likes seeing his name or people talking about him. And I'm talking about him, but that, hey, that's fine. I'm trying to teach a lesson, though. But if Miss Gray Hopkins had been aware of those things, she wouldn't have been hopeful. She would have gave him an opportunity. But I would not go anywhere hopeful that Charles Barkley was going to bring some insight to the issue of police brutality based on his prior comments. So through Facebook, Gray Hawkins heard that Barkley would be hosting this town hall meeting Tuesday night on race, including a discussion on the relationship between police and the black community. Again, Charles Barkley is not qualified. I mean, any victim can speak on racism. Anybody, you know, he acknowledges. So I don't want to say that he doesn't have a right to his opinions and what have you. But I would just say he's not qualified. He's not someone I would choose to be on a panel about race and police brutality, because he comes off as either being very, very confused more than most. He is married to a white person. It has been for quite some time. And he has a track record of saying anti-black things, race denial things, although they say at this place he said racism exists, it always exists, because he's certainly not going to do anything to stop it or confront it in any kind of way or undermine it. Oh, is that what he's doing here? He's trying to help? I don't think so. Because, see, again, let me scoot on down in this article. See if it names the Berkeley and a TNT, excuse me, A&E. I think A&E is the ones, the cameras that they had at cop show. I forget, First 48 or something like that. It's so many of these propaganda channels that's making money off of 21st century slavery and human trafficking by featuring it and glorifying slave catching and just turning it into, you know, just profiting off of people's pain. So Berkeley and the TNT production crew came to Baltimore on Monday to film segments for The Race Card, a six-part program scheduled to air in 2017, in which Berkeley is to engage communities on hot-button topics. Listen, black community out there, people, spread the word. Spread the word. Do not participate. Do not go to no town hall that TNT is sponsoring and is going to be filming and recording and then going to make money off of it. They not going to pay you for your pain. They not going to cut you in the profits from the ads that they going to run on that channel when they playing his program. And he's probably going to be just a repeat, if you do go, of the same thing. He ain't trying to heal. He has an agenda, and it ain't yours. It ain't the black community's agenda. He has a pro-slave catch your mentality. He wants to be governor of Alabama. I haven't heard Charles Barkley say nothing about that other proxy racist to black men. I think it was Alabama. It could have been Mississippi, but I'm sure it was Alabama that we've been reporting on, where that head of state prisons was involved, got a actually convicted and sent to prison himself for taking kickbacks, profiting off of modern day slavery, awarding contracts to his buddies that was giving him money. I shouldn't say buddies, but his co-conspirators. Haven't heard him say anything about any of the problems in those places. Haven't seen him go there. But yeah, I'm sure some white person over there in media, no, it's only six corporations that control 95% of what we see. But I'm sure TNT went over there with the Charles Barkley and said, hey, Charles, man, we've heard what you've said over the years on ESPN and TNT covering basketball. And whenever we interject some of these racial issues, especially when the players, the basketball players, wear these I Can't Breathe shirts or Stop Killing Me shirts or whatever, you always have interesting things today, and you're quite confrontational towards the black community. So we think that it would generate a great TV, so we would like to award you this contract for X amount of butter biscuits, and it'll be a six-part program. That's what's going on here. This ain't no attempt to try to help the people of Baltimore solve their slave catching brutality problems. That's not what's happening here. What is happening is an exploitation of black people. That's what's going on. Exploitation of Baltimore. Let me continue on with the article. We got about couple of more minutes before I take a station identification break, kick some message music on the station. By the way, if you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call toll free 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit ** to unmute yourself, and opposing views, differing opinions are welcome. But let me continue on with this article. Hear from what some of the people had to say, see if I can find some quotations. All right, so she had drove the lady we were talking about who was hopeful, Mrs. Gray Hopkins. She drove from her suburban Washington home to an East Baltimore church, wishing perhaps that the often blunt speaking, told y'all he known for it. They call it being blunt. Speaking Hall of Fame, NBA forward turned television analyst might bring some badly needed light to the often incendiary topics. See, that's why they chose him, because he's incendiary. He likes to inflame black folks. He gets paid to do that. Seems rewarded. I was hoping I would hear, see, feel something different. I did not, say Gray Hopkins, whose 19-year-old son, Gary Hopkins Jr., died in 1999 when a Prince George's County police officer shot him in the chest after a dance at a local firehouse. Her hopes were dashed as the one-hour session. See, only give him an hour. What you gonna solve in an hour? Come on, man. Again, this is made for TV. As the one-hour session quickly disintegrated into anger and disbelief from the audience aimed squarely at Barkley. See, these are people who probably don't watch sports. And they probably don't have time because they're so busy dodging brutal slave catchers in Baltimore to read up on national papers on sports and see where Charles Barkley then said something crazy off the wall. Something in support of racism. So that's why they would be in disbelief, because they don't know this band's background. It turned out as totally as I would expect it would, according to the script, because I know how these people think. To beat them, you got to think like them, man. You got to get inside your opponent's head. I know y'all have heard that before. She says, I don't think he really came here to listen to the people, said Gray Hopkins, a retired banking executive who wore a button with her son's likeness and brought posters with his picture. He, Barkley, referring to Barkley, is in his own world. What I came here to do tonight was to validate what I thought about him, and all he did was validate me. So it appears that she might have had a clue, so she was going to give him a chance, like Barack Obama telling people, give Donald Trump a chance. Don't pay attention to his history. Don't pay attention to this campaign. He just ran stoking fears of underclass white people, unemployed, looking for work. Have nothing to look forward to, so you do what you always do. You trick them with emotional propaganda meant to evoke the emotions of white supremacy, even though these people ain't supreme over nobody. They homeless and broke. So, but, you know, let's forget all of that. So she kind of gave him a chance. She gave him a chance. She was being hopeful, seemed like she heard some of his comments, and she just validate her preconceived notions about him based off of what she read in the media. But again, he's probably, again, acting. Now, if they had locked the doors and closed the doors and no racist suspects allowed, no cameras, no film crews, we might do a little press conference before and say whatever we say for to the press, because we want the publicity, obviously. Hoping that it inspire more things. But then, shut the doors, lock the doors, post guards, no racist suspects get to come in. Only people who are members of that community. Which, again, Charles ain't a member of that community. So, again, this is all a scheme, a scam to make money off a TV reality show. This is all this is. Let me see if we got any more comments before I take a break. Again, coming up here shortly will be the Barbershop episode number 9, talking about President Obama lying about Trump. You see, Barkley criticized the audience, many of whom are community activists, saying he did not believe that any of them had expressed sympathy for the families of four police officers who were shot Sunday in separate incidents around the United States. So he doesn't know. But again, this is a line in a script. He said these things before. How do you know if any of those people in that community, when a slave catcher lost their life, expressed any sympathies for the families? But let me ask you this. Does America express sympathies for the family member? Did anybody send a letter of condolences? Did CEO Obama sign a card and send a letter of condolences to Bin Laden's widows? I heard he had several wives and children. Did anybody send any condolences to them? I don't think so. I mean, so it's illogical when you got stormtroopers coming up in the hood, coming up into communities, and all of them ain't like poor areas either. These are middle class areas. One of my cousins, I've told the story before, almost got caught up. Well, he did get caught up. A judge begged the jury to find him guilty on a gun charge. He had a legally owned firearm. He presented a constitutional Second Amendment argument. The jury kept deadlocked like twice. The judge begged them for a conviction. Finally got one. But my uncle did not give up. We reached out to some people, and we was able to get that reversed, and he's home now here in North Carolina. So my cousin was in the Air Force at the time and working a second job as a security officer. Owned his own home in a gated community. So he wasn't in no stereotypical hood with syringes laying on the ground in the gutter and all that kind of stuff. So this is going on all over America, in the rural areas, in the cities, all over America. So I think it's insulting you're going to express something. Well, we didn't kill them. We don't have control over what happens, but they chose that job. They chose that. Just like when I chose to go into the United States military, I knew I could be killed. And I thank goodness for whoever put Malcolm X's biography in my hand. I think I picked it up out of a box of books that people had sent us. And they opened up my eyes to see the tool that I was to kill non-white people, to subjugate them to the will of USA Inc. So all of these cops are not psychopaths, I don't believe. Again, it depends on what their job is. We need people to investigate murders and bring murderers and rapists and burglars, and we need people like that, detectives and whatnot. But then we get those who set people up. They ain't interested in solving crime. They lazy. They set stuff up, and then it turns into a wider conspiracy involving a drug lab and sending all these innocent people to prison, into slavery. But then you have some, you know, that they basically work traffic, they answer 911, they respond to it. So I don't get on here to demonize every single last one of them, but they are not the crispy, clean police officers that just want to help. These are people who are drawn from the general population, and we are talking about a general population that just selected an openly racist person involving in double speak. He's not racist, but he uses racist language, is what we're hearing. So, how about sympathy for the people whose lives are being ruined by all of these officers carrying out orders on unconstitutional laws designed to put people into slavery? and then carried out in a racist way. Again, I don't have to make this up. It ain't about my feelings. It ain't about my emotions or anything. It's about the data. It's about the facts. It's what the data say, that you are racially profiling people and targeting people. And you, most of you, a lot of you are open up front about it, bragging about bringing it back. Look at Giuliani, about to be appointed attorney general, so he thinks. There are efforts to stop that, but again, this is their system. So, again, I mean, what does another person, Charles Barkley, going to say? Well, condolences to you who lost your son. And this other person said, what does your condolence mean to her? Said one audience member, gesturing towards Butler. How simple and arrogant are you? There are so many black men that care about our community that for us to dwell on one man that just won't get it is a waste of everybody's time. There you go. Do not go to any more of these TNT town halls on police brutality with Charles Barkley being featured as the ringleader, the proxy showcase tool of racism. Don't go. Don't participate. This is how an example of how you cannot participate in racism. Don't participate by not going. Don't show up. Let Charles Barkley be in whatever church he's going to rent out. In fact, churches, don't even let him come up in the Lord's house, as y'all call it. Don't even let him invade the sanctity of your place of worship with these racist capitalists. How many butter biscuits did they give you to defile your sanctuary? This is Scotty Reed. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. We're going to take a station ID break, kick some Hakeem Green Secrets featuring Getta, and then we'll be back. Again, the telephone number. I know it's a lot of people out there busy today, but if you're listening, have a question, a comment, something to contribute, give us a call, 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. You can also join us online via computer, call from anywhere in the world at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back on the other side.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
I will not go down that way. I choose to fight back. I choose to rise, not fall. I choose to live, not die.
You know, hip-hop is a powerful thing, but that power can be used for or against. I love hip-hop.
I said, I love hip hop. So for the love of hip hop, let me share something with you. Listen. I got a secret, everybody come and listen. They took the money out of schools and they got rich building prisons.
Tricked the people into crime
with rap verses and rhyme. Made a cooler go to jail, then gave niggas time. Well, brainwashed the people with a marketing plan. This brother all around me like he's stalking me, man. With his slogans and his phrases, keeps the masses in their places to accept for extermination like Logan through the mazes. It's in the book of ages, but we never read the pages till Hitler rises up to exterminate the races. Where were all the Christians when we started dropping bombs? Where was Luke, Matthew, Mark and John? They say pray to Christ, but act nothing like him. As they lead the sheep to slaughter, we get crucified just like them. Scripture says the meek shall inherit the earth. But after global warming, tell me what that shit worth. Not the price of dirt, he got me for my shirt. The emperor has no clothes and Condi dropped his skirt. She can get it in the rear, we should have known that it was near. Osama's just a tool they use to promote their brand of fear.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap what you sow, I doubt it. In these New York Times, listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build to stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam. Damn new in this white man's world.
I got a secret, everybody come and listen. They took the money out of schools and they got rich building prisons. Atlanta children missing, one man set for lynching. The murders still continue, but no one cares to list them. What's the price of black when white is valued higher? Who's the last to get the job, first to get the fire? No one gets the blame, truth is just the truth. Most don't have a future, cause most don't know their roots. But they know Flavin Hoops and they think that shit is cute. Like Beyonce in a G-string and Jay-Z in a suit. The Pied Piper with a flute, mommy getting zoo. The children's in the street and the dealer's about to shoot. The cycle goes around like the cycle going round. Snatching up our babies like the fruit from off the ground. Who tends the garden? Who watches over sheep? The priest is here to raise our souls. That's just when we sleep. I tell confessions to a beast. They say God is like the thief who comes in the darkest night to quickly snatch a peep. If I'm my brother's keeper, who's my sister's keep? Some nigga named Sugar Bear with diamonds in his teeth.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap what you sow, I doubt it. In these New York Times, listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build to stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam New. In this white man's
I try to do the right thing in my life like Mookie. But I'm still a public enemy, so they set me up like Tookie. We should all stand tall like Jamal in the pen. So I call for the fall of Babylon with the pen. You see everything on time like a man named Ben. Why they call me black if that's not the color of my skin? And why they call you white if we all born in sin? That sound like a gin, out to tempt men. The devil wears a suit, but I can see it in his grin. If Jesus is the word, and the word is on the cross, and the cross is in the club, why so many people lost? Two towers down, everybody like Moss. All patriotic, but what's the final cost? What's the final cost? What's the final cost?
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap what you sow, I doubt it. In these New York Times, listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build to stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam News. In this white man's world.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. Are they both the same? And if they're not, what is the difference? What is the difference between a Black Revolution and a Negro Revolution? First, what is a revolution? Sometimes I'm inclined to believe that many of our people are using this word revolution loosely without taking careful consideration what this word actually means and what its historic characteristics are. When you study the historic nature of revolution, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution. You may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution.
in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land. The basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution. What was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost. Was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what a revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I saw if you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood. Bleed when the white man says bleed. You bite when the white man says bite. And you bark when the white man says bark. I hate to say this about us, but it's true. How you gonna be nonviolent in Mississippi as violent as you were in Korea? How can you justify being nonviolent in Mississippi and Alabama when your churches are being bombed and your little girls are being murdered? And at the same time, you're going to get violent with Hitler and Tojo and somebody else that you don't even know. If violence is wrong in America, violence is wrong abroad. If it's wrong to be violent, defending black women and black children and black babies and black men, then it's wrong for America to draft us and make us violent abroad in defense of her. And if it is right for America to draft us and teach us how to be violent in defense of her, then it is right for you and me to do whatever is necessary to defend our own people right here in this country.
Talk Radio News, broadcasting from the Digital Radio Network, Podcasting Network, BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. You can also tune in to the station through various apps out there. Tune In comes to mind. If you got the Tune In app on your smartphone, tablet, in your vehicle, pull up our station, Black Talk Radio Network. Also on the Streamer app, you can get us. And of course, there's always the home. We do adapt. When I say we, I mean the platform does adapt to all devices. Before I get ready to wrap up today's program, as we get ready to make way to change our streams and air the Barbershop episode 9, where Mr. R.G. Reed will be talking about President Obama lying about Donald Trump and telling black people don't let don't let the Democrats make turn you into niggers. All right, so definitely looking forward to hearing that. But before I go, again, this is what many people call Thanksgiving. It's a federal holiday. Employers recognize it, corporations recognize it, and some celebrate it, many don't. They do take advantage of the time off of the job to travel and get together with other family members. But this also a day of mourning for many people. And every year, I believe, since I've become aware of Leonard Peltier, member of the American Indian Movement back in the 70s when the FBI did what they did. I'm not going to go into the details, but he puts out a day of mourning statement every November the 24th. Now, before I read this, don't go thinking that all of these indigenous tribes or nations or what have you are all victims. They are victims to a certain degree, but some of them, like the Cherokee tribe, of which my ancestor was one time a member until she married an immigrant. But the Cherokees in North Carolina and Georgia, some of them in North Carolina, a lot of them in Georgia, were practicing slavery. They had totally assimilated, integrated into the system of racism, and they were doing their best to emulate white people, white racists. In fact, they even came up with a name for them, the Five Civilized Tribes. These are the people that quit dressing according to their native customs and what have you, and start putting on suits and ties and dresses and cutting their hair and you know, becoming civilized. In Cherokee tribe particularly, we heard of the Trail of Tears, and there were many innocent victims on the Trail of Tears, children, women, and also enslaved Africans that those Cherokee had been enslaved. Now, those enslaved Africans could have chose to stay in North Carolina. They could have integrated in with the thriving black community here in North Carolina. But they chose, for whatever reason, to go on that Trail of Tears with the very people who had enslaved them. Again, I'm not blaming every Cherokee. Some of them, again, was children and what have you. They weren't in charge. They weren't making tribal decisions or nothing. They didn't make the decision to join the Confederacy during the Civil War to help keep enslaved Africans in chains. So I don't have no freaking kind of sympathy, except for the children, the enslaved Africans, for whatever illogical reason, decided to stick with you during your hardship with these racist crackers you was trying to emulate so badly, then ended up after you was on the losing side between white supremacists. Then look what they did. They took all your land and marched you out to Oklahoma. So again, I must acknowledge these truths. So with that in mind, all of these tribes, like if you look at the Seminoles in Florida, they welcome enslaved Africans and welcomed them into the tribe, adopted them, if you will, and then formed a fighting force of indigenous victims and African victims or the descendants of African victims who were born here. So it's not every tribe. Let's not paint the broad brushes. Let's lose this opportunity to teach history. So with that said, I want to read political prisoner and prisoner of war, Leonard Peltier. You want to know more about him, you can go to whoisleonardpeltier.info for more information. They do have an event going down in Washington, D.C. during Human Rights Week, and asking CEO Obama for clemency for Mr. Peltier, December the 4th through the 10th, 2016. So that's just about week away. So this is his statement that he sends out every year on this day. Greetings, my relatives. Here we are again. This time the year is 2016. It has been more than 41 years since I last walked free and was able to see the sun rise and sit and feel the earth beneath my feet. I know there have been more changes than I can even imagine out there, but I do know that there is a struggle taking place as to whether this country will move on to a more sustainable way of life. This is something we wanted to have happen back in the 70s. I watched the events at Standing Rock with both pride and sorrow. Pride that our people and their allies are standing up and putting their lives on the line for the coming generations. Not because they want to, but because they have to. They are right to stand up in a peaceful way. It is the greatest gathering of our people in history and has made us more connected than ever before. We need to support each other as we make our way in these times. Water is life, and we cannot leave this issue for our children and grandchildren to deal with when things are far worse for the natural world than they are now. And Mother Earth is already in struggle. And I feel sorry for the water protectors at Standing Rock because these last few days have brought a much harsher response from the law enforcement agencies there, and our people are suffering. At least they are finally getting attention of the national media. My home is in North Dakota. The Standing Rock people are my people. These are members of the Sioux tribe. Sitting Bull lies in his grave there at Fort Yates. My home at Turtle Mountain is just a few hours north of Standing Rock, just south of Manitoba, Canada. I have not seen my home since I was a boy, but I still hold out hope for returning there for whatever time I may have left. It is the land of my father, and I would like to be able to live there again and to die there. I have a different feeling this year. The last time I felt this way was 16 years ago, when I last had a real chance for freedom. It is an uneasy feeling, an unsettling one. It is a hard thing to allow hope to creep into my heart and my spirit here in these cold buildings of stone and steel. On one hand, to have hope is a joyful and wonderful feeling, but the downside of it for me can be cruel and bitter. But today, I will choose hope. I pray that you will all enjoy good health and good feelings, and I thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for all you have done and continue to do for me and for our Mother Earth. Please keep me in your prayers and thoughts as these last days of 2016 slip away. I send you my love and my respect for all of you who have gathered in the name of Mother Earth and our unborn generations. I stand with you there in spirit, Doksha, in the spirit of Crazy Horse. Again, that's a statement from U.S. held political prisoner and prisoner of war, the war that has been waged on non-white people since Europeans broke out of Europe in all directions. So again, that there'll be a Human Rights Week in Washington, D.C., December the 4th through the 10th, 2016. And they'll be asking among indigenous rights, but clemency for Leonard Peltier as well. All right. Well, again, for more information, go to www.whoisleonardpeltier.info for more details and the week's schedule. All right. So that brings me to the conclusion of this program. It's going to take me about 5 minutes to change out our streams, and we will be airing episode number 9 of The Barber Shop. So make sure you keep it locked right here on Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. Peace and blessings. Be safe out there behind these enemy lines.